Our LCCC Coaches Show, brought to you by Laramie County Community College, continues on with the men's coach, Jason Ficca, who joins us. And, you know, a rough night last night. I would say the first 20 minutes, obviously, for LCCC was good on the floor, and then things kind of fell apart probably like midway through the second half. But we were just talking off mic about all the variables that are going on with
missing
the
pieces,
program.
Yeah, missing injuries. Pieces.
But
yeah.
Real quick, I mean, for you being the head coach, late night last night, and then you're back to work again today. Mm-hmm. And same with the guys. The guys are on the floor too. So, I mean, you had seven healthy bodies out there, and I'm sure legs were a little rubbery when they were on the floor today.
Yeah, we didn't work out. We worked out for maybe about 30 minutes this afternoon, but we did. If their legs were rubbery, it's probably because we did a three-hour video session. We started at 10 a.m. with video and got done about 10 minutes after 1. So if their rubbery legs was probably from sitting in the classroom for three hours plus.
But, when you watched the video and you watched CWC last night, what things, again, and you and Coach Salisbury, you've been in this game a long time now. What things do you stop and say, okay, let's run this back again. We did this wrong. Was that one of those type of sessions where, hey, I got to stop it. Nick, you did this wrong last night. Is that what you do in those type of sessions?
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, to go back to what you said earlier, I'll come back to this particular point, but, you know, watch, you mentioned that, you know, somewhere in the middle of the second half that game fell apart. I thought so too. I thought, you know, looking back or thinking back, like, oh, that second half. That was a tie ball game with under 6 minutes to go at 69-69 when mm-hmm. David hit a three. That was like 5 minutes to go. And then we got outscored like, you know, 24-12. I mean, it was more than that. We got about 18. We outscored by 18 in the last 5 minutes. So I was shocked when I watched the video. I was like, it ended so bad, I thought the whole second half was just bad. But to go back to your last question, there was a consistent theme for everybody, and it was just bad fundamental defensive basketball, and that's my fault as the coach having them ready. We've gotten away from some fundamentals that we were, I think, pretty good at in the first semester, and we're talking about, you know, the things that anybody can do: stay in a stance, jump to the ball when the ball moves, maintain vision, and just fundamental defense. And we were horrible at it across the board, every single person on our team. So it was a constant theme. That was one of the themes we watched. And then I tallied, as we watched video, watched every single possession at least once, how many times we tipped the ball instead of grabbed the ball, and how many loose balls they got versus us. They got 21-5. 21-5 loose balls. And so, those were the two themes that we saw. It was just really bad fundamental defensive basketball. I think we've gotten, as coaches, or me as a coach, I'm just kind of in game prep mode, and I've taken for granted, I think, working on the fundamentals and keeping up with those. I'm just, okay, who can shoot? Who do we need to play this way? What do we need to switch? What do we need? And we've gotten away from just good old-fashioned, just get down a stance, keep your hips down, maintain vision, move when the ball moves. We've just gotten away from that. And it was really, really bad last night. And that's me.
And I'm glad that he brought up that point. Again, you as kind of alluding to it, of just how close that game actually was. Again, the final score does not indicate of where, again, LCCC at points had that contest, or at least looked like they were in control and then just kind of let it just fall out of their fingers. Now, not to make excuses at this point in time for this team, again, you did have only seven players available, again, with one Kevin Vinsel on at least on the bench, Hayden Collier as well, too, to mix in and out with your starters. But Was it a case of fatigue there in the second half? I mean, is there anything to blame it on? Of just they're tired, or was it just kind of mental miscues?
It was bad preparation by the coach. I feel like there we had enough bodies, we had enough players. You know, yes, more would have helped, and a couple of the guys that are out, Kyle and Courtney, they're both pretty high energy defenders, especially Kyle. I mean, we've missed him quite a bit. on the defensive end. But it's still my job to prepare the players that are healthy and ready to go. And I look back on my week, and I didn't have a good week. I was, I had a bad day Tuesday. I told the guys, like, Tuesday, I don't know, I was out of it. I was really not. I wasn't sick, but I wasn't a good coach on Tuesday. I was there, but I wasn't mentally into it. And that's, I think, a direct reflection of why we looked so flat defensively for sure in that game. We were pretty decent offensively. We scored 75 points, shot a decent percentage, and scoring 75 with our leading scorer being held, I don't know, 9 points, and the average is 20, I think, something like that. Other guys stepped up, and that's what we said today. We're getting the offensive production and the help from other guys that we weren't getting in the first semester. Now the defense, the fundamentals of defense have gone bad. If we can put those fundamentals back in with the guys that are helping us out, Manzi and David and Courtney had a 19-point game. So, we're getting the offensive help we need.
Two names that you mentioned, again, not to cut you off there, but two names you did mention that we did miss in last night's game, Kyle Cabbs and also to Courtney Dean. Courtney Dean out with a sickness, or at least an illness. Give us updates of kind of time frames. Will we see Courtney Dean come back for Saturday's game? And then also to what about Kyle Cabbs?
Yeah, I don't know about Courtney. He got out of bed today, I don't think.
Chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, he I don't know. He's got whatever's going around. We'll see. I don't know. We got 48 hours or so until game time. But that if you don't get out of bed on Thursday,
it's pretty serious.
Don't know if you're gonna be ready to play on Saturday.
But if he comes to you, coach, and says on Saturday, coach, I want to play. But I mean, the guy is going to be kind of weak for a couple three days.
I'm sure he's not hydrating very well, and hopefully he is. I mean, that's his instructions, and I don't know if he's eating well. So, I mean, even if he's knocked out the sickness a little bit, how energetic will be? That's a great question. So,
I mean, you don't need a warm and fuzzy on the bench. And spell somebody. I mean, you need somebody who's going to come in there and be an immediate impact.
Yeah, so Kyle Cabbs is, he feels good. We're going back to an injury from November 20 that has not. It's just been lingering all for 2 months now. It's been lingering, and hopefully now we've got it diagnosed. There's a I'm no physiologist, I think that's the word, or doctor for certain, but there's a tendon down in somewhere in his ankle that's strained, sprained, or partially torn. I'm not exactly sure, but the MRI revealed it. X-rays weren't revealing it, and he wasn't showing any swelling, so finally an MRI revealed it. And so we're keeping him under wraps here for a couple, 2-3 weeks, we think. We're trying to progress him with more. He's doing non-contact stuff, and he feels good. So if it's that way, I think by the end of the month, hopefully he's full go here in the next couple weeks.
You mentioned Tyrese last night, where they put the clamps on him. And, welcome to Region 9 basketball. I'm sure Tyrese hasn't seen that much pressure on him throughout the course of the season. But, I mean, they ganged up on him whenever he had the basketball last night.
Well, they were in a zone the whole night. And so, people have tried to guard him man-to-man pretty tight like that, and we've been able to shake him loose, and he's been able to shake himself loose in a lot of cases. But they were in a zone, so they always had someone there. And then that was obviously a big part of their game plan, was to always have someone there, because they let David Appelgren roam totally free at the free throw line, and which nobody's really seen him make that shot, and he made it consistently last night. And I think David's progression as a player has been unbelievable. We had the scrimmage, the jamboree we played at down in Windsor in October. There was a lot of coaches there. I mean, there's been 100 D1 guys there, and they all kind of, I don't know, he's not. And now, the phone's ringing off the hook.
We'll talk about a turnaround for a player like David, where, again, that Casper game up there where he had a rough go. He was getting bullied, and it just has a phenomenal just return game here in town against CWC. Again, did have a height advantage over the wrestlers, but took advantage of it, and, again, he made them pay.
he did what Division I coaches want to see a 7-footer do against undersized guys. You know, he just played over the top of them. But what's great for me is his touch on his shots. The whole first semester, everything was a line drive, and I probably said it before on this show, is he was shooting darts with everything, just line drives. It didn't matter if it was jump hooks or jump shots. And one thing that we do almost daily is we have a shooting machine with a big, tall net, and the guys have to shoot over the net. And I think that has really helped David get more arc on his shot, because his mechanics are good, but he was just line driving everything. And now that he's getting arc on those shots, his free throws are going, his jump shot's going, his stuff around the basket is going. I mean, his progression. We talked to a guy today that saw him in prep school last year and said, yeah, he was 7 foot, but he was not productive at all. He's like, they didn't really use him much, but...
Well, now he's becoming that all-around player for you again. He's already phenomenal on the defensive side. We know that, but now at least having that offensive addition to him, he's becoming that dual threat.
Then he knocked in that three. I mean, if I put that clip on YouTube, I mean, I'll get 25 calls in an hour. You got a 7-footer to make a three? Well, we'll take him, so.
Pretty sure he hit that three all the way back in Stockholm. How far back.
Well, we're going to take a time out here, and we'll talk a little more about David Applegren after these words on 1480 KRAE.